The next topic is what I call decision analysis. So let's say we've got assembled our loan file, we have our information about the three C's, we have the appraisal, we have the credit report and so on, have the borrower's income information. Now we've got to make a decision. The decisions that we make with the loan, we have an approve or deny decision, so approve the loan or deny, and we also have a pricing decision. That is, do we could charge a high rate, which would be appropriate for a risky loan, and then a low rate for a safe loan. Okay, the reason you want to charge a high rate for a risky loan is that if you take a whole bunch of risky loans, let's say 10% of them are going to default, you need to charge a high interest rate compared to loans that have, let's say, a 1% default rate. And in fact, if pricing could take care of everything, you could approve any loan, right? You could just say, at a 15% interest rate, this loan's worth it, even though the default probability might be pretty high. The reason that you can't just take every loan and just charge a high enough price is that once the interest rate gets high enough, that in itself means that the borrower is likely to default. Very few people nowadays could conceivably afford a 15% mortgage rate, and if that's the rate that you need to make up for the risk, then you just have to go ahead and deny them the loan. There's no way you can make that loan. So the approval deny decision is actually a significant decision in this process. Let me next talk about sort of two determinants of the outcome of a loan. One is, or sort of, let's look at the whole process. Let's not look at it one loan at a time. Let's look at the process for looking at a bunch of loans. And let's say you could be either strict, you can be very strict at this end of the spectrum, and at this end of the spectrum you're relatively loose. You allow a lot of loans that a strict underwriter wouldn't approve. So loose, you approve a lot of loans. Strict, you deny a lot of loans. The other determinant of outcome is the subsequent, and I want to emphasize subsequent, economic conditions. In particular, what do house prices do after you've approved the loan? So if the subsequent economic conditions are good and you had strict underwriting standards, you should have very few defaults. So in this region up here, you should have very few defaults. If you offered loose underwriting criteria and the subsequent outcomes in the economy were falling house prices and borrowers having trouble coming up with the incomes to pay the loans, then you're going to have a lot of defaults in this region. And so it's important to understand that it's not just the decision, that the strictness or looseness of the decision, it's also the subsequent economy that matters. And the other point to make is that when all is said and done, a third party like a politician or a shareholder of a company can criticize your decisions afterward and say, like, well, given that the economy came out, let's say, really well, if you had strict underwriting standards, you probably missed out on some good loans. And all all through the early part of the 2000s, as the housing bubble was heating up, lenders who maintained any sort of strict underwriting standards were being criticized because the default rates on even loosely underwritten loans were low. Then all of a sudden the crash hit and people said, oh, I can't believe that you lent to some of these people. You were just trying to exploit these borrowers. You had no business lending these people. You knew that they couldn't pay the loans. How could you have made those loans? And this is all based on kind of after the fact, looking at results, not ahead of time, looking at sort of the what should be the choice about loose versus strict. And I'm going to introduce some terminology here. It's called, in statistics, it's known as type 1 and type 2 error. Type 1 error is you accept a loan or you approve a loan that is bad. And that the definition of bad could be outcome-oriented, that is, it defaults, or it could be a loan that is risky, regardless of whether it turns out to default. But let's think of it in terms of default. And you deny a loan that is good. So let's think in terms of bad and good. Bad is subsequently defaulted. Good is that it actually somebody else made that same loan and it didn't default, or if you had made the loan, it would not have defaulted. So we can do something again in statistics that's pretty familiar. We can talk about the outcome of the loan, which is, let's say, it pays or it defaults. And then the decision on the loan, which is, it could be approve or deny. So if you approve a loan and it pays off, you made a good decision. If you deny a loan that defaults, you made a bad decision. If you approve a loan that defaults, you made a type 1 error. And if you deny a loan that pays off, you made a type 2 error. It's important to know that the type 1 and type 2 error costs are quite different. If you're the one who's taking the risk on the loan, let's just say you're going to hold the loan, then a type 1 error is very costly. Because there you're going to, when you take a default, you could lose, you often lose about half of the amount of the loan. So if you had a $100,000 loan, you might lose $50,000 on that loan. Type 2 error is usually not very costly because it depends on the profit margin that's in the business. But the profit margin on a good loan might be more on the order of $5,000 or less. So the type 2 error costs much less. Therefore, you want to err on the side of trying to make very few type 1 errors because they cost a lot. And you're willing to make, if you have to, more type 2 errors. You're willing to pass on some loans that had a decent chance of paying off in order to avoid the type 1 error. So that's the beginnings of decision analysis. I'm going to have more to say in a subsequent talk.